Yo, what is up, everybody? We are back. One more episode. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in to the Reverend Lyle Lewis Show, a.k.a. the Paid Fighters Podcast. Hey, I am Reverend Lyle Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Liu, where I am a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church. The pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. That's right, I am not the pastor. I'm a minister that presides under Prophet Willie C. Townsend, where he presides with his wife, co-pastor, Prophetess Denise Townsend. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. Come check us out any given point in time that you can. And if you can't get out to visit us, check us out on YouTube. We got a YouTube channel with by the name of Word Evangelistic Church. Google Word Evangelistic Church. Google Prophet Townsend. You'll trust me, you'll know him. He's the man that wears all the nice, fancy, flashy suits. Trust me, you can't miss him. And I assure you, if you like what you hear from me, you'll love what you hear from him. So by all means, check us out. And please, by all means, hop over to the Lewtown Productions page so that you can check out my podcast, the Two Black Eyes podcast, the Pain Fighters live podcast. I could use some likes, some clicks and subscribes, couple of kills and clisses. If you please, check me out. Hey, thank you guys for tuning into the podcast. We're going to go ahead and dive in. You guys know what we're here to do. We're going to go ahead and cover. Yeah, I know that this is an ongoing process, but like I said, I want to make sure to teach you guys. I want to make sure you guys have a full understanding of what I'm trying to tell you when it comes to, you know, positively and negatively being affected by your salvation, because you got a lot of people out there that are saved and they're being negatively affected by their salvation for multiple reasons. And one of these reasons is because they don't understand sin. They don't understand how, you know, you got too many churches that are teaching that it's okay to do certain things. It's okay to be a certain kind of way or whatever the case may be. And that's what I'm doing, breaking down the Word of God so that then this way we can fully understand what it is that God requires from us and what it is that He expects us not to do. You know what I'm saying? We can find out the do's and the don'ts and explore all the avenues of how God expects us to serve Him. And by all means, hop over to Word Evangelistic Church, Prophet Townsend, to teach you all of this, because everything that I learned from him. So without further ado, we're going to go into Romans, the seventh chapter. We're going to, now, mind you, the original verse that we started off on this, this is not the original verse from the whole negatively, positively, and negatively affected series that I'm doing right now. For more reference to that, go back to the one that's just called Positively and Negatively Affected, how salvation positively and negatively affects you, the original episode, and listen from there and you'll know what the original verse is. But right now we're just diving into this because the Lord put this on my heart to really break this down to have people fully understand what I'm trying to say and the message that he wants out. Because don't get me wrong, I'm just the man preaching it. But, you know, it's God the one that gave me the inspiration to tell you guys and to preach it. And, this is how all preachers and ministers should operate, through and by the Spirit of God, you know, pushing them in a way of inspiring them to get these words out to the people. You know, it shouldn't, you know, a lot of times when folks are more or less just motivated by a message, you know, it's the reason why the Bible says let the anointing teach you, because the anointing is not going to miss details. The anointing is not going to hit on certain things and so forth and so forth. But, you know, like if someone is just like, oh yeah, this is what just settled in my heart, then you never know exactly what you're getting. You're getting philosophy or, you know, somebody's opinion or whatever the case may be. So, but without further ado, we're going to start. Okay, so like I said, the original verse from this starts at 7:7, which reads, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, last week we left off, because we're going to break this down from the 7th verse all the way down to the end of this. That's the reason why. And on Anchor, I only pretty much have an hour to break this down. But, I mean, I'm not going to rush to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to break it down, take my time, give you guys what it is that you guys need to hear. Last week we left off at the 12th verse. We're going to start at the 13th verse. And it says, was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be become exceedingly sinful. Now, again, we're here to break this down. So let's go ahead and start breaking it down at the beginning. So it says, was then that which is good made death unto me. So a lot of times, unfortunately, what's going on with so many people is they're more or less kind of, okay. So when the word of God goes forth in an individual's life, right? A lot of times you have it where people, and this is one thing that I said that can negatively affect your salvation, negatively affect you in salvation, is listening to other people or listening to wrong types of teaching. Because you have it where if you listen to other people who are not for God, I don't care if they're a church, I don't care if it's just an individual. If you listen to people that are not for God, they will try to tell you different things about how you should serve God and how you should live for God. You know what I'm saying? And like Paul was saying in the scripture right here, he was saying, you know, what shall I say then? Let's see, in the 13th verse, what then was then that which is good made death unto me? So he's asking a question. Meaning, is this something that is hindering me? Is this something that's supposed to hold me back? But notice he said, God forbid. In other words, this isn't something that's supposed to hold you back per se. Understand this about God. All that God is ever trying to do is pump life into you one way or another, be it eternal life or, you know, spiritual energy. And when I say spiritual energy, I mean like to give you energy to serve him, to give you energy to live. Okay. To give you energy to carry on in life. All right. God isn't here to hold you back from doing anything. Notice how God operates. If you want to go off in a sin, go. He's not going to stop you. Because if that's the case, he'd have stopped Eve or Adam. He'd have stopped at least one of them. Okay? If that's the case, he'd have stopped David from all the times that he sinned. If that's the case, he'd have stopped Solomon, Samson, the children of Israel, Ananias and Sapphira. We can go on and on about all the people he could have stopped from sinning. God's going to let you do your thing. Okay, God's not going to force you, but at the same time, you gotta understand, this is the reason why God teaches you. So that then this way, he can give you the choice to do what you want to do. The word of God did not come into your life to hinder you in a sense from living. It came to hinder you from hell, hinder you from sin, hinder you from things that you should be hindered from. See, you can be negatively and positively hindered. Negatively hindered means like, man, this is something that's going to really affect you in life that's going to be on a bad side. Positively hindered means this is something that's going to positively affect you, that's stopping you. Somebody hinders you from smoking a cigarette. They're trying to hinder you. You know, they're trying to hinder you from smoking or taking drugs. They're trying to help keep you alive. They're trying to make it to where, you know, they don't let you die from lung cancer or lymphoma or whatever it is. Someone's trying to hinder you from sleeping around. They're trying to help save your marriage or at least keep you from getting some kind of STD. Someone's trying to hinder you from making your life better. Those are the ones we need to stay away from. Prime example. We'll look at our friends who tell us, oh, you don't have to do this. You don't, okay, let's dive a little bit deeper, okay? So you have it where, let's say, for example, right? You are somebody who you live a very disciplined life, you know, and, you know, let's just say, I don't know, you're doing, you know, violin studies or, you know, something along those lines, right? You go to practice every day to practice the piano, the violin, or you go to college every day to make sure that, you know, you keep your GPA up, keep your grades up, this and that, that and this. Your friends go out to party and then they call you, hey, we're running out, we're going to have a party. Drinks, this, that, this, we're going to have a good time. You know, we're going to celebrate, so forth and so forth. Why don't you come with us? You're like, nah, I got to study. I got to practice. I got to go to rehearsal. I got to go to class, whatever the case may be. They'll be like, nah, man, you can skip one day. Trust me, I've had this many a times going to church. I had many people call me, oh, man, hey, we're going out to go hang out. Why don't you come with us? Nah, hey, guys, you know, that's Bible class night. I'm not coming. Oh, come on, man, quit being a square. Oh, man, come on, you know, and then next thing you know, they wind up going, because there never was a time that I was ever like, okay, guys, yeah, you know what? Sure, let's go. No, I was always like, no, you know, I'm going to stick to my guns, and I'm going to keep going in this direction, and you guys go on without me and have fun. Next thing you know, I always get a phone call. Yeah, such and such happened, and they got into an argument. Somebody got shot. Somebody got stabbed. Somebody got hurt. They're not talking to each other anymore. This kind of drama, that kind of drama. Is always something stupid that happened. I'm like, now see, why would I want to miss out on what I was originally going to do for something like that? That kept me out of something. That doesn't sound like it negatively hindered my life. It sounded like it positively hindered something in my life. Because now, here it is, I'm free and clear of whatever garbage they had going on. That's the same way with other people. They go to do their thing, they go to do their thing. And if they allow themselves to be affected, hey, they wind up with bad grades, or, you know, they fall off of practice. And then next thing you know, what do? They want to blame. If I had to win with you guys, no, you made your own choice. See, the word of God does not force you to do it. Satan will. Satan will hinder you any kind of way that he can. Okay? He'll hinder you through all kinds of other people, teachings, and other things like that to make it seem like you serving God is boring. To make it seem like you serving God is not important. To make it seem like you serving God, there's a better way that doesn't require all that. Understand this. If the word of God said this is how it's supposed to go, I suggest you stick with the word of God. Was in that which was good made death unto me? He said, God forbid. He said, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, that by which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful. In other words, okay. But sin that worketh in me, let's see, where was it? But sin that it might appear sin. Okay. How does sin appear sin? What is Paul saying there? But sin that it might appear sin. We don't know what sin is unless we are taught what sin is. Notice what the seventh scripture says. Notice what the seventh verse said. It said, "But for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet." See, what the word of God does, it brings you into the knowledge of what is and is not. The word of God brings you into the knowledge of what is sin. The word of God brings you into the knowledge of what is good. The word of God brings you to the knowledge of what is bad, what's holy, what's acceptable in the eyesight of God, what is not acceptable in the eyesight of God. The word of God does this. But see, man will try to sugarcoat it through philosophy. Man will try to sugarcoat it through his feelings. Man will try to sugarcoat it through how he wants things done in life, or what he feels is convenient, what he thinks God will like for us. This is the reason why, like I said, we got to be taught under the anointing. You got to be taught by a person that's directly tied in with God, so that then whatever message the Lord wants you to hear, that's the message you get. Whatever message you get, that's what you run with. See, the word of God is not here to bring death unto us. It's here to bring us into the knowledge of sin, that we can escape death, that we can escape hell, that we can run into God in a good way, in a positive way. We can run into God's favor. We can run into healing. We can run into blessings. We can run into deliverance. But that's what the word of God does. That's what, as Paul calls it, the law was supposed to do. It's supposed to bring us into the knowledge of a lot of these things. See, when the word of God is being preached, this is the reason why a lot of times, if you notice, especially those of us that go to church, when the word of God goes forth, that's when Satan really tries to bring all kinds of garbage to the mind. That's when he wants to remind you the bills are due. The rent isn't been paid yet. We don't have any food in the fridge. The kids are acting up in school. Your husband did this. Your wife did that. You're the doggone dog pissed on the carpet. You got like all these other different things that are coming to your mind then. Why? Because if you don't have the knowledge, then Satan can use what you don't know to deceive you. He could try to make it seem like that the word of God is here to hinder you from living a good life, hinder you from living a decent life. That the word of God is here in some kind of way to stop you. See, Satan will try to make you think that the word of God is here to bring death in your life. What I mean death, meaning that it's here to kill your good time. It's here, I might as well just give up in life because the only thing I can do now is read my Bible and pray and go to church. That's not how God wants us to live. Okay? God didn't save us so that that's what we can do. Hey, man, look, I still have fun in this Christian life. Dude, I practice martial arts. Whenever I go to a practice, dude, I go. Me and my wife, we go hang out all the time. We go to the movies, we go bowling, we go skating, we do whatever we can. We do whatever we want to do. But see, here's the thing. Thanks to the word of God, we know how to do it. See, we don't have to go out drinking and smoking and doing all the other kind of dumb stuff. We don't have to go out committing sin. No, we can go out and do as much stuff as we want to do in the proper parameters of God without sin. Without having to give our lives over to things that's going to destroy us. Was in that which was good made death unto me. So in other words, were the things that I once enjoyed in my life, or are these things, are all these things bad? Bible says, God forbid. Hey, look. Life isn't bad, man. You can live life. You can enjoy life. But Satan tries to make us believe that salvation is boring. Salvation is something that only old people do. This is the reason why a lot of people who get saved young, Satan tries to put it in their mind that, oh, no, you're too young to get saved. You got time. No, you got a whole life to live. Don't worry about that. Do that later when you're old. No. Salvation is for when the Bible says the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. That's what the word of God says. So that means I don't care if you're 8. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're 12. I don't care if you're 72. I don't care if you're 27. I don't care if you're 86. I don't care if you're 63. I don't care if you're 32. I don't care what age you are. The day you hear my voice and you fully comprehend what God is saying, that's the day that the Lord is calling you. But Satan's going to try to make you think that this is that the word of God is here to bring death unto you, here to bring boringness unto you, here to bring just a horrible life of just, you know, church and nothingness. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of, you know, you ask a lot of young people, why don't you go to church? Well, that's just, you know, that's for old people. I got saved when I was 19 years old, okay? I promise you this, and this is not me just saying this just to sell you some golden ticket. This is me telling you the truth. When I got saved, honestly, I was like, I don't understand why the hell I didn't do this sooner. Mind you, at that time that I got saved, I came into the knowledge of a lot of things. I was like, man, I just should have did this years ago. I should have did this years ago, but before then, mind you, I was getting the same information. Getting saved is for old people. Getting saved, that's something, you know, it's going to hinder me. I can't do nothing in life. I wasn't being taught as best, as good as I was. When I finally came into the full knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of what God was trying to do through the Word of God, how God was trying to reach me and everything else like that. That was when my eyes became open. And that's all that Paul is saying right here. See, my eyes, he was saying in so many words, my eyes became open to a lot of things. I realized things about myself through and by the word of God. I realized things about my inner man. I realized things about my flesh. I realized things about how they war against each other. I realize how the word of God brings death and how it brings life. I realize how people believe that sin is life when it's really death. I realize this. And that realization is what helped him to help convey this message unto many other people, to help them to understand that sin is not life. It's not a way of life. I mean, don't get me wrong. Unfortunately, it is, but it's not a positive way of life. It's not a prosperous way of life. It's not a way of life that's going to lead you to anything other than hell, other than death, other than nothingness. These people who go to hell, like God, like Jesus said, cast them in the outer darkness. Pain, suffering, flames, weeping, gnashing of teeth, all these other kind of things. These don't sound like good things that we want to experience. But yet, look at how the masses flow in that direction. Look at how the masses, that's where they're going. That is what they're not trying to divert themselves away. And those that are, they're trying to divert themselves away in a way that's convenient for them. You can't do it that way. You got to go God's way or there's only, when God says do it this way, there's only that way to do it. There's a reason why the Bible says that there's that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction and many go therein. It said, but narrow is the path. Narrow and straight. Only few are going to find that way. But see, Satan will try to make you think that, oh, it's okay to do it like this, or it's okay to do it like that. Oh, you don't have to do all of that. Understand this. If God says you got to do it that way, I suggest you do it that way. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away from it. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Follow what God told you to do. Stick to that way. And it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law does, okay. So the word of God is something spiritual, okay? The word of God is something that goes forth to ensure that you're doing things the right way in God. The word of God is spiritual. In other words, God is a spiritual being. Okay? God is spirit. We're carnal. In other words, we're fleshly. We're natural. God says his thoughts are not our thought. His ways are not our ways. So therefore, when we get to doing things, our fleshly carnal mind is going to automatically be the first thing that kicks in trying to say, hey, this is what we should do. That's what we should do to benefit itself. But the word of God is spiritual. Notice what the Bible, what God says about the word of God. God said that his word is settled in heaven. God said he exalts his word above all of his name. See, you got to understand, word of God being spiritual is eternal. We're fleshly, carnal. We are not. We come to an end. So how you think you should do something, that way is going to come to an end. How you feel about a certain thing, that way is going to come to an end. But what God said, that is going to be what carries on. God's not going to care about what you felt if that's not what the word of God said you should feel. God's not going to care about how you think or how you should have done things according to your thoughts. But this is the reason why I told you in the very first episode that we need to be careful of how we think and how we feel and how we want to do things. Our own righteousness, our own thoughts, our own way of doing things, those are ways that will negatively affect us. But see, one, when you're not taught. Two, when you're listening to other people. Three, when you're listening to yourself or Satan. Then you'll be led down any kind of path. See, it's easy to deceive a person, especially when they want to be deceived. It's easy to deceive a person when you agree with them. If somebody's doing something the wrong way and they're just genuinely dead set that this is the way that it's supposed to be done, it's easy to get them to feel good about what they want to do if you agree with them. It's easy. It's hard to convince them otherwise, if even when you're telling somebody the right way to go. It's hard to tell them. Trust me, I done witnessed to many of people. I done told them, hey, look, you know, the Lord this and Jesus Christ that, and you know, the word of God this and the Bible says this and that, that, and this. Oh, well, I just believe that, you know, as long as I read my Bible and I'm a good person and I'm just, it's like whipping a dead horse. There's no point in it. You're trying to get them and convince them. I'm trying to tell them the spiritual way. They want the carnal way. I'm trying to tell them, you know, they come ask me a question. Why do you go to church so much? And I give them the scriptures and I tell them, hey, look, you know, the Bible says, forsake not yourselves assembling together. You know, we should come together and break bread and, you know, have communion. These are the things that the Bible tells us to do. That's the reason why it's important to go. And then what the next thing that you want, they come here. Oh, well, I just believe that you should be able to. and then you're steadily there. Now they want to go into a doggone debating contest with you about why they believe that their way is better. But you got to understand what God says in His Word. That's what stands. See, we are always going to try to do things to cater to the flesh. That's just the normal way of man. We're going to always try to do things the easy way. We're going to always try to do things the way that's most convenient to us. That's just the natural order of how we are. But this is the reason why the Word of God has to come in and be taught, so that then this way, we don't wind up veering off in a way that the Lord doesn't want us to go. You got to understand, serving God is not always going to be to your convenience. Serving God is not always going to be something that is all, it's not going to always be something you want to do. Dude, there's times where I am tired. Like for instance, prime example, there's times where I done worked all day Friday, didn't get much sleep Saturday, went and worked Saturday, because I work third shift. I work on the third shift, and I work all night. I work all night, work all kinds of overtime Friday, sometimes work overtime in the Saturday morning up until Saturday afternoon. Get very little sleep, you know what I'm saying? Take a 2-3 hour nap, wake up, go do a whole nother night shift. Soon as I get off work, go run to church. I'm in church all day long. Sometimes I'm like, man, I want to go to sleep. But I'm like, no. I tell myself, if I could do all of this for myself, if I can give all this energy to man, there's no way I'm not going to push myself for God. There's no way I'm not going to keep myself awake for listening to the Word of God. If I can deal with work, I can give God even greater respect and give Him. But the flesh wants to try to fight. No, I bring the flesh under subjection and I say, no, this is what we're going to do. We gave man his time. Now it's time to give God His time. But the flesh wants what's convenient. I want to sleep. I want to rest. I want to take a nap. We're going to just listen to the telecast later. No, we're going to listen to the telecast live. We're not going to wait 2-3 hours after we wake up and then after we done thought about this, that, this, and remember what we got to do for the day. No, we're going to listen to the Word of God as it's going forth live, fresh from God's presses, fresh from the mouth of the man of God. That's the spiritual way that it should be done. The carnal way is go to sleep. We can listen to the telecast. The carnal way, we'll just come to Wednesday. We'll call off from church today. No, how about what I should have did was called off from work Saturday. So in this way, I'm more than well rested to go to church on Sunday. That's the way that it should be done. See, man, again, wants to do things in a carnal way, which is it's a way that is convenient unto him. But God's spiritual way is a way that's, like we were saying in the other one, clean, just, holy. God's way is a way that works for God. And when God has a way that works for him, I assure you, it's the way that works for you. This is the way that shows him you have faith. The way that shows him you have love. The way that shows him, mind you, we live for God. We don't live for ourselves. This is the reason why we don't do things in a carnal way. See, you do things in a carnal way, you're living unto yourself. This is the reason why, like Paul just said here, so I'm trying to make sure I'm on the right scripture. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We're going to do things. The original heart of man is to commit sin. That's what the Word of God says. The original heart of man is to commit wickedness. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. With that, this is the reason why we fight against sin. We all have been tempted and want to do different things in many different ways. Not all of us are tempted with sex. Not all of us are tempted with stealing. Not all of us are tempted with violence. But we're all tempted with something. Some of us are just tempted with selfishness. Some of us are tempted with just jealousy. Some of us are tempted with, you know what I'm saying? We're all tempted with many different things. But if the word of God speaks against it, we fight against that temptation. We don't give in to the natural sinful nature of our flesh, of our carnal way. We give in to God's spirituality of what he says in the word of God, which is spirit. And the Bible says to worship God in spirit and also in truth. The Bible says thy word is truth. So everything all comes back to the word of God. So if God says do something a certain way, that's how you do it. For that which I do, I allow not for what I would. For what I would, that I do not, because what I hate, that I do. Now, yeah, that's kind of, yeah. So let's read that one more time. We're on the 15th verse. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. So let's break that down, okay? So it says, for that which I do, I allow not. Meaning it's something that what I do, that's not something I should be doing. That what I do, I allow not. I fight against that. I fight to keep those things out of my life. Those thoughts, those actions, those things along those lines. And then it says, for what I would, that I do not. The things that I should be doing, though. See, well, let me go back. So let's see. For that which I do, I allow not. So in other words, what he's saying, the things that I'm doing are the things that I don't want to do. That's what he's saying. That what I'm doing, that's what I find myself doing, that's what I should be doing. But that's what I should be doing. Those are the things I find myself not doing. I shouldn't be feeling jealous, yet I am. I shouldn't be in lust, yet I am. I should go to church, but I'm not. I should pay my tithes and offering, right? But, I mean, who's gonna know? That what I would not, that's what I find myself doing. In other words, that what I know that this isn't right, but yet, for whatever reason, this is what I wind up doing. And then he finishes by saying, but what I hate, that do I. I find myself doing things, you know what I'm saying? I find myself struggling in a way to do things that I shouldn't be doing. I find myself struggling against the right way, against the right way or the wrong way, one way or another. I find myself, but at the end of the day, I still find myself doing things that I know I should not be doing. Look at how many people are out there bound in sin, and they hate it. They know they're in sin. They know they're living in sin. They hate it, but yet they're not breaking out of it. They can't get out of it. They know that laying up with this individual they're not married to is wrong, yet they can't get out of it. They know that this life that they're living is going to lead them to some kind of destruction. Yet for whatever reason, they can't get out of it. And so, in the process of this, what happens to the individual? They wind up living in sin. But this is the reason why it's important to stick to the word of God. See, you stick to the word of God, you can bypass that. Because don't get me wrong, it's not to say that that the word of God just flushes that out of you altogether. No, your flesh will still rise up. Your mind will still kick up. Satan will still jump in there. But it's so much easier. See, here's the thing. If you have a format to follow, then no matter what goes on, you follow that format, you can't go wrong. That's what the word of God is. It's a format of what you should and should not do. Word of God pops up. against sin, leaving you an option. But see, that is where people struggle. They don't struggle in listening, reading the Word of God. They don't struggle in those areas. They don't struggle in retaining and remembering the Word of God. They don't struggle in bringing it back up. They struggle in the performance when it comes time to do or not to do. That's where it boils down to. That's what Paul was saying in the previous verse. How he's saying, man is carnal, born under sin, sold under sin. In other words, we are a sinful people. That's just how we are. So I find myself the things that I would not, I find myself doing, but are the things that I hate, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I don't, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't. And the things I hate, that's what I do. Why? Because we're sinful people. But when you follow the Word of God, it keeps you out of sin. But see, it goes back to what I was saying in the last episode. That's the reason why you got to give God your heart. You have to give God your heart. You have to have a made up mind. Give God your heart. I'm going to live for God. You need to repent and leave whatever it is that you're dealing with and leave it alone. So that then this way you can come out of that sin and live sin free. This way, should it be that you're ever tempted with that again, it's much easier to resist that temptation. For most people, committing the sin is the hardest part. What do I mean? Because committing the sin is the hardest part. Meaning that for whatever they've embedded the Word of God in their heart and in their mind to the point where doing that is just something they can't even bring themselves to think about it. And I know that it sounds cliche. I know that it sounds like I'm just filling it with flesh, but that's the way that it is. But that's for those, but that's what happens when someone completely sells out to God. Committing sin is not something that's on their radar. Committing sin is not something they want to do. Committing sin is not something that they're trying to. So they stay away from it. When it's presented to them, they run away from it like fire. Somebody brings something to them that's not in line with what the Word of God says, they quickly shun it because they don't want no part of it. Because the Word of God said to stay away from it. Word of God told them not to touch it. So anything they don't want their mind to touch it. They don't want their emotions to touch it. They don't want their mouth to touch it. They don't want people around them that's touching it. They want to stay clean. Like the Word of God told them to. But see, you got to understand, like I said, the Word of God is spiritual, but it said we are carnal. So therefore, there's a spiritual side of those of us that are saved. But there's also the fleshly carnal side of us. So therefore, there's always something that's warring again, one against the other within us. Constantly clashing and butting heads with each other, one against the other. Forces of good and evil. You got a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. I don't care how you want to divvy it up, but that's what it always is within every Christian. You always have the forces of good and evil within us constantly butting heads with each other. Let's read the Word of God has to say. 16th verse. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Like the Bible said, whom you render yourself over to, that's whom you become a servant of. Law unto death, sin unto death, or righteousness unto life. But you have to make that choice. It's not up to anybody else to make that choice but you. We try to blame our bad choices and our sinful activities on this person, that person, that person, this person. No, 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 no. Take responsibility for your actions. You're the one that's in control of your body. Don't get me wrong. Satan tried to put pressure on the individual to make him think, why do you think there's so many people out there that believe they have to live in sin? They just believe, oh, I gotta do this. Oh, I have to be like this. Oh, I have to. Oh, I have to. I have to. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to. If you don't want to. Oh, I don't understand. This is just the way that I am. Stop making excuses. You don't have to be like that. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So basically, whichever we render ourselves over to, that's what we're consenting is good. That's what we're saying is good. You yield yourself over to sin. You're saying sin is good. No, no, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. You yield over to God and over unto the word of God and over unto righteousness, and you're consenting the word of God is good. That's the reason why God said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, then serve God. If Baal be Baal, serve Baal. In other words, don't teeter-totter. Don't straddle the fence. Don't play. No. Serve one or the other. You're either going to be a servant of sin or you'll be a servant of God. But here's the thing. If you're going to be a servant of God, fight the good fight of faith. If you're going to be a servant of God, live for God as much as you possibly can with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're going to serve God, focus on God, the word of God, and everything God would have of you to do, and everything he would have you to be. If you're going to be a servant of God, give your heart over to God, live for God the way that he instructs you to do it. Make up your mind, sit down, count the cost, and make up your mind that I'm going for God the whole way. Why? See, again, we're talking about how salvation positively and negatively affects you, right? Okay, people want to only do things so far to quote unquote test the waters. No, there ain't no testing the waters with God. You're either in or you're out. There is no testing the waters. This is the reason why we have hypocrites. This is the reason why we have backsliders. This is the reason why we got so many people who they're in the church. They come to the church for a little while and then they're gone. They're trying to just dip a toe in there and trying to get a taste of it. Try to see, look, there is no sampling salvation. Satan tries to tell you that, oh, okay, well, go ahead and go to church. See if it's for you. It is. Salvation is for you. I tell you what, whatever medication you're taking, that's for you, right? You just sample your medication and you take the whole thing. You didn't just sample it. Let me see. No. If the doctor said, hey, this is for you, the only thing he said is, let's try this much dosage. That's the only part of the sample. Let's see how much. But see, in God, like I said, it's either all or nothing. You can play samples and dosages and so forth with man. You can play that on a natural carnal level, but you can't do that spiritually. This is the reason why Paul was bringing out both carnal and spiritual. It's carnal. There's things you can do carnally you can't do spiritually. I can sample things carnally. I can play with this and play with that and dip my toe in this and that and try to check this out and so forth and so forth. Carnally, spiritually speaking, I can't do that. When I came to God, I wasn't trying to turn, let me see if salvation might be. No. I yielded my heart unto God. I said, I'm coming. All the way. We're in this all the way. I wasn't playing games one year, and then the next year I was talking about living right, and then the next month I was talking about, no. When I gave my life to God, it was from that day forth, for God I live, for God I die, from that day forth. September 13th, 2001. I was not in and out of God. I haven't backslid. I wasn't dipping my toe in nothing. I wasn't playing double dutch with the church. No, when I got in God and got in the church that the Lord wanted to be in, and then I got under the pastor God wanted me to be under, I settled myself there, and that's where I've been ever since, running for Jesus. Not sampling, not playing, not in church 1 year, out of church the next year. Not one day I'm saved and the next day I don't know. I had to go through this just like every other Christian did. I had different battles and struggles and things like that, and I overcame all of them. How did I do it? Through and by the word of God. My salvation positively affected me because I listened to what God had for me to do. I listened to what God told me to do. I listened to the instructions. And I went in that direction. If God said, don't touch it, I didn't touch it. If he said, go and do this, that's what I did. If he said, pray and study more, I prayed and studied more. If he said, stop hanging around certain people, I stopped hanging around them. Whatever God said do, that's what I did. Was there a struggle? No. And I tell you why there was no struggle. My mind was made up. My heart was fixed. When God said, do this, that's what it was. Okay, Lord, if that's what you say do, that's what we're going to do. I want to live right. I want to make it to heaven. I want to be pleasing unto God. What do you want to do? I'm asking you as the listener, what do you want to do? You want to play with God? You want to play in and out of church? Even man knows you can't build up no kind of relationship if you're playing around. So how do you think it is with God? You can't be in no kind of playful relationship where you're just, 1 minute we're just, oh yeah, we're just hanging out, and the next minute we act like we don't know each other. Here it is, yeah, I've been coming to church for about two, 3 months when I needed you, when I needed a job, or I needed God to be on my side for whatever reason. And then after I got what I wanted, then I disappear for 6 months and God don't hear nothing from me. No, you do that with man. You do that with every whore's broad or whore's man you're sleeping with. You do that with them. You don't play that game with God. Then when things don't work out for people, and the first thing they want to say is, well, why would God allow this? Why are you playing games? Why are you playing games? Why don't you stay in God? Serve God. Show God that your service and what you rendering unto him is good. I didn't tell God that the word of God was good. I showed him the word of God was good when I was tempted with salvation, and I listened more to the word of God than I did to my flesh. I showed God that the word of God was good when situations came up in my life, and it was either give up on God or give up on the situation, and I gave up more on the situation than anything else, and God worked it out in my favor. I showed God he was good. When I had people around me that weren't serving God trying to convince me over to their side, and I chose to serve God anyways and watch them go down. I showed God he was good through my works. I'm going to move on. It says, in the 17th verse it says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, what was he saying there? In other words, he's saying that I find myself doing that. Like he was saying in the previous verse, he was saying that, you know, whatever he goes, he does things, and he can sense that it's good. So therefore, whenever he commits sin, he can sense that the sin that he just committed is what's good. Therefore, now realizing, like he said, now that it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So now I realize that if I'm doing this, considering that it's good, it's no more I that am doing this. It's sin that's in the individual. Sin is in all of us. Again, we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were all shaped in the Adam nature. Created and shaped and molded in the Adam nature. There's sin that's embedded in our flesh. It's in our, and it's in all of our DNA. Spiritually speaking, I don't care how you want to put it. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I'm realizing now that it's not me, but sin that's in me. In other words, it's the sinful nature in me that's moving me to do these things and say that they're good. It's the sinful nature within me that's compelling me to do things that I don't want to do. It's the sinful nature within me that's making it hard for me to live for God. But see, here's the thing. Man likes to use crutches. What do I mean? Man will use that scripture. It's no longer sin, but sin. It's no longer me, but sin that dwells in. It's the sin that dwells in me. Look, understand this. While yes, it is sin that dwells in you, you got to understand, Jesus Christ died so that we could overcome sin. Mind you, Paul is bringing this out to help the individuals understand what's going on within them spiritually. He's not telling us this so that we can use this as a crutch for sin. He's not telling us this so that in this way, that's the reason why he also said in the book of Romans, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. We don't use the law and the word of God as an occasion for sin. He said that in the word of God. We don't do that. He did this to get you to understand why it is that you want to do sinful things. He brought this out so that you can understand why there is a struggle within you. He did this to bring you into the knowledge and to teach you what it is that's within you so that you know what to fight against. But see, individuals who want to live in a carnal way, they'll use this as some kind of excuse. They'll try to use this as justification to live in sin. They'll use this as justification to get others to live in sin. Satan will use this as a way to bring it to your mind for you to go out and do things that's not proper in the eyesight of God. For I know that in me that is in my flesh left. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's the reason why the word of God is very important. See, for the individual, you get saved, for you, the knowledge of how to fight against this is not present in you. But you know that it's bad. But you don't have the knowledge of how to fight against it. This is the reason why listening to the word of God. This is the reason why studying the word of God. This is the reason why leaving yourself open unto the Spirit of God and the anointing teaching is so important. So that then this way you can learn how to fight against Satan. You can learn how to fight against your flesh. You can learn how to fight against the carnal side of you and yield yourself over to God. Because see, if you don't know, then yes, it's going to be hard. If you don't know, then yes, it's going to be impossible. If you don't know, then yes, you're going to keep slipping and falling and rising and this and that and this. Because you don't know. This is the reason why Satan always tries to get people to get hung up on, I didn't know. But this is also the reason why God is sending individuals like me and my pastor and other holy individuals out there preaching the word of God as it should be preached. To help bring people into the knowledge, to help teach them, to help instruct them. So that then this way, you come into the knowledge of what to do it, how to overcome Satan, how to overcome your flesh, how to overcome that carnal side that keeps trying to rise up and take over your life. Sad part about it is, it's what we're doing, this is the part that people reject. They accept the church. They accept the choir. They accept the tithes and the offering. It's the teaching that the people reject. They'll read the Bible, but they won't be obedient to it. They'll only read certain bits and pieces. And even then, half of the time, whatever they're reading, they don't have an understanding of what they're reading. They're just reading it. They'll tell you that they're reading to get you to shut up and leave them alone. They'll read just so they can say, yeah, I read my Bible. But then when you start asking them questions about different things, and hey, did you read this? And you see they start getting frustrated. They don't want the knowledge. Because if they're brought into the knowledge, this means something that they know they got to stop. They get brought into the knowledge and stuff, that this is something that they know, that this isn't something that's pleasing on the eyesight of God. So if I don't have the knowledge, leave me alone. Ignorance is bliss. Man tries to reject the knowledge. Satan blinds you from the knowledge. Satan doesn't try to keep you from church. Notice, most people don't fall asleep when the choir is singing. Most people don't fall asleep when the tithes and offering bucket get passed around. Most people don't fall asleep when it's time for praise and testimonial service. When do they fall asleep? When the teaching's going forth. When do they go to sleep? When the pastor gets up there and he starts preaching. I see it in my church all the time. When I was a little kid and my mom would take us to all kinds of different churches, I would see it then too. That's when folks get sleepy. Hell, I go when I was a kid, that's when I got sleepy. Pastor, you're there preaching, I start drifting. I look around the church, hell, I start seeing people, these are adults, these are people who are claiming salvation in the church. They're sleeping and they're just... That's what Satan is trying to blind us from. That's what Satan is trying to get you from. See, you're negatively affected by salvation and what you're in your, like I was saying in the very, 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 very first part, your lack of knowledge. Your lack of knowledge. Satan tries to keep you away from certain things that the Bible tells you to do and not to do, that the Word of God breaks down on how you should live and how you shouldn't live, how you should operate and what you shouldn't do. Satan tries to keep you away from that more than anything. And see, man tries to think, man feels as though, well, Lord, you should have mercy. Because if I didn't know, I didn't know. The pastor never told me that, but this is the reason why the Bible also told you. You should study for yourself. See, we look at all the things that man studies. Man will go and study, right? We'll study all kinds of stuff, right? And in the process of studying all of this stuff, we'll make sure we get a full understanding before we do it, dive into it, or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to the Word of God, well, I didn't know. And we'll leave it at that. So, okay. We're a bit closer. Next week, we're going to go ahead and start off at the 18th verse. I know that's where we're ending, but we're going to go ahead and jump off from there. So, man, I didn't realize a whole hour passed by and your time flies when you're having fun. I love talking about the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, I love to share the Word of God, preach the Word of God, and so forth. So, but you guys know what's going on. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. Please look out and listen for more stuff that's coming from Lewtown Productions. We're doing big things, as you know, I keep telling you guys, and we are steadily always moving and growing. So, until then, go check us out on Word Evangelistic Church. Check me out on Lewtown Productions TV at YouTube, on YouTube for right now. And until then, you guys just... be blessed, all right? So, until next time, be safe, stay saved. God bless.